Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For many of us, it is the wee hours of the morning on December 6th. I said to my mom on Wednesday, I think I need to start doing some Christmas shopping. When should we do our Christmas shopping? It is coming so fast. I'm really proud of myself because my tree and my Christmas lights are up. And I'm very proud of them. As always, I'm very proud of them. Though my mother is more concerned about me starting a fire. But I have a fire extinguisher and there's never been a fire. So I think I'm okay. But I'm so proud of the fact that my lights and my tree are up and steady and secure before the middle of the month that I really haven't started to think much about the gift giving. I did, of course, book an escape room trip for the entire family. But I also want to come up with a couple of other gifts. So, I know many of you can empathize with traveling over the holidays and air travel specifically. So, you know, you either have to, if you buy a bunch of gifts, mail them ahead of time or have them delivered to your destination and instruct the family members at the end of the line not to open anything or look at anything. But then you have to wrap them all when you get there. Or you have to stuff them all into your suitcase. And actually, you can't do the wrapping ahead of time either. Remember the first time I was warned by TSA, or I saw a warning from TSA that you could not wrap your gifts because if they decide they want to know what's in them, they will unwrap them. Oh, could you imagine? You wrap them all up, you spend hours and hours, and then someone from TSA decides they need to see what's in that box. Don't! So I haven't started doing any Christmas shopping yet, really, not much. If you have, you are way ahead of me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Inside the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk about these two big moves in Major League Baseball, what happened and what didn't happen. So Paul Goldschmidt going from Arizona to St. Louis in a trade, and then Patrick Corbin after narrowing it down to three teams, the Nationals, the Phillies, and the Yankees. Those were seemingly the three teams that were last in the running. He decides on the Nationals, and the Yankees kind of take themselves out of the sweepstakes, which I thought was interesting too. So we'll talk about those two moves, let you hear from Arizona general manager Mike Hazen and how tough it was to move on from Mike Goldschmidt. I'm sorry, Mike. Mike Hazen, Paul Goldschmidt. I don't know that that is reassuring at all to the fans who are now thinking about a future season, next season, without Corbin and without Goldie. That does not sound fun, really. But that is the plight of sports fans. Especially when you have a franchise that's rebuilding. But then I think, why? Why now? Like, why don't you go and get some pieces and bring them in around your two guys that could be stars as opposed to deciding in December that that's it, you're rebuilding? Now, in the case of Corbin, you probably think you can't pay him the way some of these other teams can. But, man, it sucks to watch teams kind of pull the plug, or even if they aren't doing that, because there's always a chance you could get lightning in a bottle with a bunch of young guys, you know, prospects that you bring in and young players that you already have on your roster that you're adding to. There's always a chance that can work out perfectly and it could be the right formula. But generally, what it feels like to the fans is you're pulling the plug and you haven't even gotten to the season yet in this case. You haven't even tried yet. So we'll do that coming up in 15 minutes here on the show After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We're also going to do some QB news as we get closer to week 14. We've got the latest on Sam Darnold, on Cam Newton, and their physical ailments. Cam is a hoot. His press conferences, whether it's because he's up there with no shirt on or whether it's because he's wearing a really interesting and fascinating hat or because of the stuff that he says, I don't like to miss them. They're always highly entertaining. And still, the chatter around Aaron Rodgers and how much he had to do with Mike McCarthy's firing, that's continuing as well. So we will do some QB news as well as some Major League Baseball. We'll start to talk about Week 14 in the NFL. But a couple of other things that I wanted to hit from the NBA. And if you want to weigh in on the Kevin Durant comments about LeBron James, you certainly can. I thought it was interesting as I was reading some of these KD comments to Bleacher Report that the speculation is now that the Lakers are not likely to land Kawhi Leonard when he's a free agent or Jimmy Butler. And I don't necessarily know why that is the case, why it looks like the Lakers are not going to be front runners there. KD himself was specifically commenting about Kawhi. So that was kind of the catalyst for these comments about the toxic environment and why he didn't think it was a good fit for superstars to play with LeBron. And he was specifically referencing Kawhi Leonard, which I agree with for a couple of reasons. They kind of play the same position, which, they're not the same player. But in terms of what they do on the court, having the ball in their hands a lot, a volume of shots, but also the defense and how they body up and they'll run the break and everything else. And I don't know, it feels like it'd be really crowded with the two of them on the same court. And I feel the same way about KD. There is no way that I could see KD and LeBron James on the same court. And so the ideas that they might ever play together, I think are absolutely ludicrous. But the Jimmy Butler one is, it's another one where he's the alpha male and he's the lead dog in the pack. And you also have to consider personalities. You have to consider who wants to be the man and who is the man and who's going to be the primary voice in a locker room or on the court. Now, in terms of Kawhi, he's not necessarily a voice. Right? I mean, he leads by what he does and how he does it. He leads with the intensity. He leads with the fact that he is one of the best two-way players in the NBA. But, and I know Greg Popovich said he wasn't a leader recently. I actually didn't listen to that whole comment from Greg Popovich. I kind of dismissed it. I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. But in terms of being a vocal leader, he's definitely not. That's not his personality. It's not his style, but he can lead in other ways. And I don't know much about Kawhi. We don't know much about Kawhi. We know he doesn't like the cold. That's one thing we know about Kawhi. We know he's got one hell of a game. That's one thing we know about Kawhi. We know he's got a really awesome laugh when pushed to the limit, when pushed to the brink. You get the Kawhi Leonard laugh. We need to find it. If you guys, I know we have it, so you can just drop it in whenever you like. When he really finds something funny, that's what you get from Kawhi. Anyway, but in terms of his personality, what do we actually know about the guy? He's relatively reserved. In fact, he reminds me a lot of a Tim Duncan. But I don't know if, well, we certainly know Kawhi and Pop didn't ever have the same relationship. But also this idea of being able to take criticism, being able to push back when your coaches push you. I mean, it's certainly a psychological aspect to coaching, is you have to know how to communicate with individual players. Some guys will respond to yelling and screaming. And, pseudo insults. Some guys will respond to that. Other guys will not. It's the same thing for women. You have to know who you're coaching. You have to recognize who your audience is and when it works to push and when it doesn't. When you need to dial back and be a little more sensitive. And we don't really know a lot about Kawhi Leonard. So the idea of him playing with LeBron, to me, just doesn't seem to work basketball-wise. But maybe he'd be fine. Certainly in San Antonio, when it was a lot of the attention on Parker and Ginobili and Duncan, though those three guys are not huge talkers either. I mean, Manu will talk. Tony will talk, but that's not really their game. I mean, none of them is trying to think of the right word. There's a good word that I know will pop into my brain. None of them, I would say, is charismatic as much as a Steph Curry. I mean, Steph does well with the media, though he's relatively quiet, too. I'm trying to think. I mean, LeBron, for heaven's sakes, LeBron loves the media attention and the media. I mean, there are some guys who thrive when the spotlight is hot and they're in the middle of it. They don't just thrive on the basketball court. They thrive off. They enjoy that attention. Generally, I think Greg Popovich kind of stays away from guys that are like that. That's not really the kind of basketball player that he brings in. He's looking for a different type of a locker room tone. So how much do we really know? I don't think you could ask Kawhi Leonard to change his game. As much as LeBron is one of the greatest we've ever seen, how do you go to Kawhi and say, hey, can you change your game? Because he's one of the best in the NBA right now. And I think he's proven that he was ready to come back, and whether or not the time away was the right thing for him, it's his life, it's his career. He certainly lost a year of it. And maybe his reputation took a hit, but who cares? He's still working, and he'll have a choice to make in a year. And you could never put him in Los Angeles and say, okay, you have to subvert your game. And maybe that's not what would ever be communicated to him, but that's what would happen. That's what has to happen when you play with LeBron James. So what Kevin Durant is saying, I think, is really interesting. Now, the toxic environment part, I've never traveled with a media group that covers LeBron. I've been to games. I've been in locker rooms. But in terms of being around a team that he plays on day in and day out, I mean, certainly you and I, we both know that there tends to be a lot of media coverage. Everything LeBron says, everything LeBron does. Now, is it biased in favor of LeBron? I think you have both. I think you have the fanboys, as Kevin Durant noted, but I think you also have the opposite. You have some members of the media who of course do it without bias, but you have some members of the media who go the opposite direction, where it doesn't really matter what LeBron does. It's going to be bleh. And I'm talking more about like local, not national. Local, where, you know, you're representing a particular fan base and you're speaking to a particular group of fans. So yeah, I mean, I think you have a little bit of everything. So I can't speak to that part personally, but I would agree that not every superstar is going to fit with LeBron. Isn't Kyrie a great example of that? And there are likely big-time stars around the NBA that wouldn't want to play with LeBron for that very reason, because you recognize that it becomes LeBron's world and you have to fit into it. He's not adjusting to you. You're adjusting to him. Has he earned that? Sure. But does every guy want to play in that environment? Nope. They all have egos. You may not hear about it. They may not lead with their ego like Kobe Bryant did, but they all have them. And while some are willing to put them aside for the good of the team, and the Warriors are a great example of that. You don't think Klay Thompson could be the man somewhere? Sure he could. Not everybody wants or needs to play with LeBron James is what Kevin Durant was saying. So I appreciate that part. Of course, if all you saw was toxic environment, well, then you fell for it. Hook, line, sinker. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, as well as on our Facebook page. Plus, we've got our Twitter accounts. So After Hours CBS, that's our show account. And then mine is A-Law Radio. It's always good to talk to you. Do you agree with Kevin Durant? Or do you think he's got rings. So it's not like you can look anymore and say like, oh, KD's just jealous, because that would have maybe worked, would have been an explanation you could trot out there a few years ago, but not anymore. Coming up, Paul Goldschmidt is a member of the Cardinals, and Patrick Corbin lands in the nation's capital. Ooh, I feel for you, Diamondbacks fans. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. field. He swings. There's a drive way back. It might be out of here. It could be. It is a three-run homer for Goldie. And the route is on here at Chase Field. It's 15-4. That's his 20th of the year.
He's a superstar, and he's one of the best players in either league and has been for a long time. And there's no debating that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
No, there's still no debating that, yet he's no longer going to be the responsibility of Mike Hazen, the general manager of the Diamondbacks, who you hear after that hit by Goldschmidt on the Diamondbacks radio network with Greg Schulte. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So this happened just a few hours ago, the Cardinals trade for Paul Goldschmidt from the Diamondbacks, and they give up starting pitcher Luke Weaver, catcher Carson Kelly, infielder Andy Young, and then a compensatory pick in the 2019 draft. And you certainly know why the Cardinals made this move. They wanted to add a superstar caliber player. And Goldschmidt fits the bill, right? He's a six-time All-Star. He's been in the MVP conversation. They tried to re-sign Jason Hayward. They made a run at Giancarlo Stanton. They also went after David Price. So whether it be hitters, whether it be the pitching staff. And they hadn't been able to make this kind of a splash. And so here is the St. Louis splash. That makes sense. That's super easy. Now, he is going into his final year before free agency. Right, and so they're giving up a lot of pieces. Will he stick around? Will they be able to sign him to a longer-term deal? Is this a tryout, so to speak? Either way, you give up a lot of pieces. But I guess the good news is it's not a trade deadline deal, and so at least you get him for a full season, barring any injuries. All right, so he is, you know how they do the ages. His age 31 season. In 2019. And while his numbers are a smidge down, especially early last season, he was striking out a lot. I mean, doesn't everyone strike out a lot these days in Major League Baseball? But after seeing his average dip below 200, then he hit a nice stretch where he was very productive from like June through the rest of the year. And his strikeout numbers were down. And so Goldschmidt in St. Louis, a humongous baseball town. I mean, they love their Cardinals. And considering the fact that it's been several years since they made the postseason, this one makes sense. Obviously, needs to stay healthy. That's a huge piece of it. Now, as for the Arizona Diamondbacks, that one's a little murkier. So they made the playoffs in 2017, remember? This is Arizona. They were in the wild card game. They played a team in their own division and then ended up taking on... Did they play the Dodgers in the division series that year in 2017? Oh, right, because the Dodgers by far had the best record at that point. Yes, so they ended up playing the Dodgers. Then last season or last fall... They were in the division race until the final month of the season and then just fell apart. They still finished above 500, but they fell so far out of the race. Now, remember, you had the Dodgers in third place in the NL West in mid-September, and they managed to win that division, obviously, and get back to the World Series. Arizona became an afterthought. So they lose Patrick Corbin to the Nationals, and we'll get to that. They also have their center fielder, A.J. Pollock, who's a free agent. And so now they're full rebuild mode, even though it's not even 2019. Ah, I hate this for Diamondbacks fans. But just in general, it's hard to support a team that doesn't have a guy that you're really looking forward to. But also considering where they were, 2017, and then even for most of 2018, being a playoff contender. And so, yeah. I mean, we'll see what these young pieces do. Maybe it'll turn out to be awesome. Maybe it won't. Either way, this was their franchise icon. And general manager Mike Hazen broke the news to Paul Goldschmidt that he was headed to St. Louis.
It was the same that you always get out of Paul. He was very professional and respectful. I think probably disappointed, as much as he loves Arizona. We had a good conversation. We both told him how much he meant to us personally and professionally as a baseball player and as a leader in our clubhouse for the last 2 years that we've had a chance to be able to work with him.
So that's Mike Hazen, the general manager, and it admits that it's really tough to move on from a player of this caliber and from Paul, specifically because of how much they enjoyed working with him. So I certainly get it from the Cardinals' point of view. There are absolutely other teams that were interested in making this trade. In fact, John Heyman, who is on MLB TV on a cell phone that makes him sound like he's in a tunnel, but it's still good information about the trade and why it's the Cardinals.
St. Louis and Houston were the two teams most interested in adding Paul Goldschmidt. The Cardinals, as we know, a perennial winner, have not made the playoffs three straight years, so they are bound and determined to improve their team, and they do so today with a big bet. Obviously, they gave up a pretty good package to get Goldschmidt, but they have an excellent lineup at this point. If I had one little quibble, they're a little righty-heavy, but Goldschmidt, one of the best players in the game, should be great in St. Louis. The fans will love him there, and you got to say, the Cardinals, it's a win for them.
That's Baseball Insider John Heyman on MLB TV. Of course it's a win for the Cardinals. I mean, no doubt this is a win for them. I don't have any issue there. Even if his numbers did drop off a little bit last year, and he's not the same guy that, say, when he finished runner-up for the MVP twice, right? Not the same guy, but in St. Louis, you are supported. You are buoyed and lifted up by the support of the fans, and you're always playing in front of a full house, and there is a tradition there that does not exist in every other baseball city, certainly not in Arizona. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Patrick Corbin hit is also a painful one, though at least he wasn't a trade. In this particular case, you know, he was able to pick and choose where he wanted to go. But 29 years old, an all-star, a lefty, he's got that slider that's so deadly. And he reportedly will get the 6 years, $140 million. Now, I don't know if the physical has been completed by now, but that was kind of the last sticking point before the deal was going to be completed. He had a 3.15 ERA last year and went over 200 innings. Now, you remember he had Tommy John surgery in 14, I think he had Tommy John surgery, and then he missed all of 15, right? And then he spent some time in the bullpen because when he came back, it was a difficult adjustment. And now he's back as a starter and the highest profile free agent pitcher available. And he's coming off a year in which he had a career high in strikeouts with 246. So he's back into that form and maybe even better. But how about this? Just for perspective's sake, the Nationals now have three teams. I totally made that up. Don't ask me how I did that. Can I do like a take two? Take two. A mulligan. I get a mulligan. The Nationals have three pitchers who are making at least $100 million. So their contracts are over $100 mil. The Nationals. Only one other team in Major League Baseball that has three pitchers earning more than $100 mil. Do you know who it is? Think last year's big free agent splash, Yu Darvish. So it's the Cubs. They also have three pitchers making over $100 mil. I mean, think about that.
Take that for data.
Three guys on your roster, starting pitchers, all earning at least $100 mil. And when I say $100 mil, that's just your baseline. I mean, Corbin stands to earn $140 mil. And baseball contracts are fully guaranteed. He also visited with the Yankees and the Phillies. But do you want to know why the Yankees weren't the finalist? Weren't in the running? In fact, they took themselves out of it. Because they steadfastly refused to give him more than 5 years. So they were going to pay him, fine. They can deal with the money, but they were not giving him 6 years, which that part is interesting because usually it's the Yankees who go so far over the top, but it's a new era. They're not outbidding teams anymore. And again, it's not just about the money. It's about the commitment because these are guaranteed contracts and they want to be careful. though Corbin is 29, so if you're going to invest, it's still a big commitment. The Nationals now have Scherzer, and they have Steven Strasburg, and obviously they've got Patrick Corbin to add, and those are their three $100 million men. The National League East has gotten a boost, huh? All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. I see a few of your tweets about Kevin Durant and LeBron James and some of the NBA stuff, which is cool. You can also find us on Facebook. I see some of your comments now where Chris had put a spot up about the KD comments. He uses the toxic environment line because why not? That's where the clickbait is. But I hope you understand what Durant was saying. It's just that it's not the right fit for everyone. But you can weigh in on Facebook. What is that skull and crossbones thing?
It's a symbol for toxic waste.
Well, he definitely did not say toxic waste. Chris likes to stir the pot. I just want you to know that it's not me. This is Chris. I don't post every day on our Facebook page. That is the producer's responsibility.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Even if you don't know this song, it only takes 4.5 seconds for you to start belting it out loud. And the great thing about it is you don't need to be on cue. On key, in key, on cue. Don't need to be either of those things. You just belt it out however way you want it because that's the way the song is designed. I mean, there are actually some famous musicians who don't sing on key. I mean, whatevs. Whatever makes you happy. I tell you what, in an arena full of 2,500 screaming school children, it certainly did not sound like they were on key, but it was fun to hear them. That was what I was doing on Wednesday morning. It was a game that tipped off at 11 a.m. Eastern time, 8 a.m. for the opponent, which was Cal State Fullerton. Yeah, it was a good game, though. It went down to the wire. I felt all out of sync. I do love sleeping at night, though. The more I do overnights, the more I realize I sleep so much better when I actually sleep at night. However, it's just not how it is. So no complaining. I'm not complaining. You're not complaining, right? You love these hours, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's see. Let's talk to John, who's in Toronto.
Hello?
Is it really windy in Toronto?
I'm at work. I work in a factory, Amy.
Oh, got it. Okay, so we're happy to be alongside. Sounds like it's loud there.
I'm sorry about that. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to touch on the fact earlier I heard you say that we know that Kawhi doesn't like the cold. I don't know how true that is because Kawhi doesn't speak. We don't know what he likes.
Well, he said that before. He has actually said that before, that he doesn't like the cold. It wasn't specific to Toronto. It's just, remember when the All-Star game was in Toronto?
Oh, yeah. I remember. That was the coldest weekend of Toronto's history.
Right. Well, that's when it came up. According to people that were there covering the game and covering Kawhi, he never went outside the entire time because he hates the cold.
Amy, that was the coldest weekend in Toronto history. That, anyway, regardless, you know what changes all that?
What's that?
Winning and money.
It could, but it doesn't have to. And I would agree with you. It certainly could make a huge difference if Toronto ends up, let's say, being the top seed again in the East, getting to the NBA Finals. It absolutely could change his mind about where he wants to live and how he wants to move forward with his career, but it doesn't have to, because let's think about this. If he ends up continuing to play the way that he is, and he's played very well, I mean, let's be honest, he's a major reason why the Raptors are tops in the East. Don't you think he could assess the situation this way? Hey, I'm the reason why Toronto is winning, so I can go somewhere else and be the reason why that team is winning.
But we can pay him the most.
How do you know that?
because of the contract situation. He walked away from.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be driven by money. Not everybody is. I mean, I wouldn't go to a company, and I'm just using my own corporate background. I wouldn't go to a company for a job that I didn't want in a place that I didn't want it just because they were paying me more money. Not when you're a millionaire already and you've already got more money than you can spend.
I guess he walked away from a lot too, right?
I mean, yeah, if he had stayed in San Antonio, they would have been in the same situation, right? He didn't want to stay. He wanted out before his deal was up. But if he had stayed, they would have been able to offer him the most money.
I just have one last point. I don't know how true this is. I heard a report.
Oh, dear.
The fact that he signed with New Balance helps Toronto's situation of him staying, because apparently New Balance doesn't care whether he signs in New York or L.A. or et cetera like that.
Well, here's one way that it could also work against Toronto. He just got a whole boatload of money from New Balance, so maybe he doesn't need to take the contract that's offering him the most.
The only thing that did was kind of help his situation from leaving San Antonio. But Toronto can still pay him the most.
Right, but my point is that maybe that money from New Balance makes up the money that he wouldn't get if he left Toronto and took a contract somewhere else. Right, so he's got another revenue stream. Now that's paying him a boatload of money. Maybe he doesn't care if he leaves a little on the table in Toronto.
I hope not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that he's made his decision yet. I certainly think that winning changes a lot. But it may not change who he is at his core. And if what he wants is to go home, then that may be what he's going to do.
Amy, you're awesome. Thank you for taking my call, and I love your show.
All right, John, thanks for listening while you're at work in Toronto. Ramon is listening in Arizona. Ramon, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, I was just calling in. Kind of talking about the Hulk.
What? I'm sorry, we lost you there for a second. Oh, you're talking about the Diamondbacks?
Oh, that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks trade.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I'm actually very happy for him. He has been nothing but I'm a huge Diamondbacks fan, always have been. And, you know, back when the Diamondbacks made the playoffs on a perennial basis, rivals, but I kind of liken it to, you know, how St. Louis felt when they lost Albert Pujols to the Angels. I think when he comes back here.
Except they had the World Series.
They
had the rings.
They absolutely did. And I'm glad that he's able to go to a real baseball town. I'd love to say my hometown team is a baseball town, but, you know, it's nothing like St. Louis. I think that that was probably the best place for him to land. You know, I hate to see our team rebuilding yet again.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
I don't either. For the life of me, I don't understand why we signed Zach Greinke to a $30-plus million contract a year. An aging pitcher. He has done good things for us, but he's not been the closeout pitcher that, you know, that we needed. And now we're in another rebuilding mode where, you know, we traded away all our diamond, you know, our prospects and everything else. We got rid of Didi Gregorius, who's now a standout for the Yankees. A lot of our players, we just don't seem to be able to hang on to any quality players. And I'm really personally happy for Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, he's always going to be a hometown fan, and I think when he comes back to Phoenix, they're going to cheer him no matter what team he plays for.
I certainly hope so. Do you think that the fact that it's no secret, the Diamondbacks management is in full reblown rebuild mode, I don't even know if that's a word, full-blown rebuild mode, that it's going to keep fans away from the ballpark?
I absolutely think it will. I think the fans are just frustrated right now.
Sure.
The Diamondbacks, what they did, if you look at their schedule next season, they were very strategic in scheduling the Yankees, and they schedule our opening against the Boston Red Sox to get fans in the ballpark. Pretty much the way they're doing that, that's the only way they're going to get fans in the ballpark next year, by getting rid of a fan favorite and building yet again. The team just shows no willingness. We traded away we have almost no farm system whatsoever.
Mm.
So the only way way that we're going to be able to rebuild is by trading for farm prospects. I mean, we have draft picks, but we haven't done anything with any kind of our draft picks. We just keep trading away players. It's,
right.
You know, we're not willing to put the money into building a quality team.
Well, but until they win on a consistent basis, they're not going to be an attractive free agent destination either. I mean, sure, the heat is nice when it's cold everywhere else, or cold in a lot of other places. And I like their stadium. I've been there. I like it. I don't know how fans feel about it there, but I think it's great. I like Chase Field. But until they win on a consistent basis, it's not going to matter, because free agents aren't going to want to go there. And we know the Diamondbacks aren't going to outbid other teams. As for Greinke, the reason why they paid him is because that was the only way they could get him to get there, to be there, to sign there, was to overpay. So they did it with Greinke, but they're not going to do it on a consistent basis.
No, and when they overpaid Greinke, they had no money. The problem is, unless you're a team that has a lot of money to pay out, when you pay a free agent that much money, everyone else knows they're not going to come there because you have no money to sign them. You know, you unless you have a great and you build from the ground up like the Atlanta Braves did, or you know, a couple other teams, you're not going to be able to consistently sign those big-dollar free agents. I mean,
right.
We live in the backyard of the Dodgers. There's no way. I mean, Chase Field is a great place to play. I mean, it's a home run hitter ballpark.
It certainly does help when you have young players who are under their rookie deals and under team control for a longer period of time. I'll give you that. Ramon, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 855-212-4227. That's our number, 855-212-4227. I did see that some of you posted questions for Ask Amy Anything, both on Facebook and on Twitter. You sent them. Of course, that's a hump show dealio, yo. And we didn't have hump show, or I didn't have hump show. You had hump show without me. So I hope that it helped you to get over the hump and cruise downhill toward the weekend. But we'll save those questions and we'll store them and hope to answer them next week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
GEICO presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Belinda Collins, live on the scene of a recent lightning storm. Here to describe the event, a TV tray.
I was watching football and holding a plate of meatloaf when kabam! A bolt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.